Part 1. Reflections. Reflection 1. Ecosystems. The word economics originates from the ancient Greek term oikonomia. It is a compound word formed from oikos, meaning society, or house, home, household, and nomos, meaning law, custom, protocol, management, or even stewardship. The original meaning points to the stewardship of society. Today, we can understand economies as systems or networks that coordinate the production, distribution, and consumption of resources, and economics as the study of how those systems operate. The term grassroots originates as a metaphor for fundamental, foundational movements arising from ordinary people, akin to roots of grass. A single blade of grass is quite weak, but together the roots of grass can hold whole mountainsides together. Historically, it has signified bottom-up efforts driven by local action and participation. Grassroots economics builds on this foundation, referring to the study and practice of resource coordination originating from the ground up, where communities manage and share their resources collectively. The ancient Greeks and other cultures that we will reflect on placed humans and living systems in general at the center of economics. To begin talking about economics in living systems, we should connect with ecosystems as the root of all such economies. The ecosystems of plants and fungi are an amazing example of this. Plants offer nutrients to an underground mycorrhizal fungi network through their roots and surrounding soil. They also pull on the abundance of that network, receiving nutrients that have been transported by the fungi from far and wide. They give to the network when they have surplus, when they drop their leaves, and even when they die. One way of thinking of these plants and connected root and fungal masses is as a common pooled resource. This type of commons operates on a broad and long-term sense of reciprocity, where contributions and benefits are distributed over time rather than being immediate or one-to-one exchanges. Yet through a relational lens and an empathy framework, we can imagine an intrinsic intention of reciprocity, or debt, of the plant that pulls water and nutrients from the network, as well as an intrinsic expectation of reciprocity, or credit, waiting to be fulfilled by the network. Through this same lens, we can imagine plant and fungal networks exhibiting a form of distributed consciousness rooted in evolutionary processes and ecological relationships. Their interactions seem to be guided by an intention to sustain life, expectations of reciprocity, and intrinsic commitment to the future, meaning that water and other nutrients the plant received from the network will eventually return to the greater network. The plant will someday give back all it has gained and more. The nutrients it has processed and produced from photosynthesis or bacterial symbiosis, as beans do to produce usable nitrogen. That living network has built and continuously participates in an unspoken agreement, giving to the plants while expecting the plants to give back in return. The network, made up of other plants, fungi, bacteria, and even animals in the ecosystem, can pull on that plant's nutrients, debt, in the future. Crucial to the economic protocols intrinsic in these systems are the resource pooling and coordination systems of fungal networks. The fungal network provides transportation, limited storage of nutrients, and directs the flow of nutrients among connected plants, while maintaining itself by eating from the network to grow and thrive. The key components or organs of mycorrhizal fungi include hyphae. thread-like structures that extend into the soil, absorbing water and nutrients like phosphorus, nitrogen, and potassium. Mycelium, a network of hyphae that connects plant roots, facilitating and directing the exchange of nutrients between plants. Arbuscules, specialized structures within plant root cells that enable direct nutrient exchange between the fungus and the plant. Vesicles, storage units within the hyphae that hold limited nutrients for later use, acting as a reserve or common pool resource for the plants connected to the network. Spores, reproductive units that seed new fungal colonies, store genetic material and energy reserves, and germinate based on favorable conditions. There is a lot we don't know about these fungal networks, but we can take the various functions of their organs as a basis set for resource coordination. These functions can be seen in the relationship between the fungi and the three sisters. The three sisters and the fungi. The ancient agricultural practice of intercropping or mixed cropping of maize, beans, and squash, known as the three sisters, is an excellent example of how both nature and mankind work together to achieve optimal resource coordination, which dates back over 5,000 years. Mixed cropping is primarily an ecological system rooted in the natural interactions and relationships between different plant species, soil microbes, and the environment. However, humans have played a significant role in selecting compatible crops, optimizing planting arrangements, and managing the system for increased productivity and sustainability. The ancestors, aware of the mutual benefits of growing these crops together, were pioneers in understanding the cooperative nature of ecosystems. This practice has proven to be an agricultural jackpot, showcasing the profound interdependence of plant species to promote healthy growth and sustain ecosystems. Each of the three sisters contributes to the overall health of the group through physical support and resource sharing. Maize serves as the natural trellis for the beans, allowing them to climb and access sunlight without sprawling across the ground. This structural support optimizes space and light for all three plants. Squash spreads across the ground, creating a living mulch that suppresses weed growth, reduces soil erosion, and retains soil moisture. Its large leaves provide ground cover, helping maintain the necessary conditions for its sister plants to thrive. Beans, by intertwining among the maize and the squash, contribute to the creation of a microclimate. This reduces wind speed, moderates temperature, and preserves moisture levels. Together, the plants create a more stable and resilient environment for growth. Above ground, the role of humans in planting and cultivating these crops is crucial, as they manage the spatial and temporal dimensions of this symbiotic relationship. However, the complexity of the three sisters goes beyond what is visible to the human eye. Below ground, another layer of intricate cooperation unfolds, supported by an underground network of fungi. Beneath the soil, the roots of maize, beans, and squash interact in ways that are as vital as their above-ground contributions. Each plant has a specialized root system that provides and accesses distinct nutrients, creating a division of labor in nutrient acquisition. Maize develops a deep root system capable of reaching phosphorus from deeper layers of the soil. Phosphorus is essential for root development, flowering, and overall energy production in plants. Squash, with its shallow and extensive root system, excels at absorbing and dispersing potassium, a critical nutrient for cellular function, photosynthesis, and water regulation in plants. Beans engage in a symbiotic relationship with nitrogen-fixing bacteria, converting atmospheric nitrogen into a form that can be used by plants. This process enriches the soil with nitrogen, which is essential for protein synthesis, photosynthesis, and overall plant growth. The sharing of these critical resources is facilitated not only by the plant's own abilities, but also through an underground network managed by mycorrhizal fungi. These fungi act as resource coordinators, enabling the plants to pool and exchange nutrients. The mycorrhizal network connects the roots of maize, beans, and squash, allowing each plant to benefit from the other's nutrient acquisitions. When maize requires more potassium and nitrogen, it sends signals through the fungal network. In response, the beans release their excess nitrogen and the squash their abundant potassium into the network, where the maize absorbs them. In return, when maize has surplus phosphorus, it can send it back through the network to the beans and squash. This constant exchange of resources, facilitated by the fungi, forms a grassroots economy that functions continuously below the surface. The fungal network not only acts as a medium for nutrient exchange, but also as a storage system. Its vesicles store nutrients that each plant can access as needed, creating a common pool of resources. In return for providing this service, the fungi consume small amounts of sugars produced by the plants during photosynthesis. This symbiotic relationship benefits all parties involved, with the fungi playing a crucial role in maintaining the balance of nutrient distribution. The mycorrhizal fungi do more than simply facilitate nutrient exchange. They also regulate the flow of nutrients, prioritizing the resources based on the needs of each plant. The fungi respond to signals from the plants, ensuring that nutrients are distributed efficiently and in the right proportions. This dynamic system of resource allocation is not yet fully understood, and ongoing research aims to uncover the mysteries of how these fungi manage such complex interactions. The functions performed by the mycorrhizal fungi, connecting, exchanging, storing, and regulating nutrients, mirror the principles of a healthy ecosystem. By stewarding the flow of resources and responding to the plant's needs, the fungi create a proto-social environment in which life can flourish. The relationship between maize, beans, squash, and mycorrhizal fungi exemplifies a naturally occurring resource coordination system that mirrors the principles of symbiotic exchange found in both ecological and ancient human economic systems. This underground fungal network not only supports plant growth, but also demonstrates the foundational principles of sharing, stewardship, and cooperation that are central to grassroots economies. The three sisters, supported by fungi, offer a model for sustainable, interconnected resource management. We will reflect on the functionality of ecosystems and compare them to the socio-economic systems found in ancient human resource coordination practices. Long-term reciprocity. The abundance and patience of natural systems that we see in natural ecosystems is immense. A plant could pull on the network's nutrients their entire life. It could then be eaten by a deer, and that deer could feed on the abundance of such plants for their entire life, only returning nutrients through defecation and death. And the system continues chugging along just fine. In a healthy ecosystem, each organism is part of the common pooled resources. Of course, if that deer were to eat all the nutrients and then defecate them out on the pavement or in sewage systems that can't reach back to the forest or soil, eventually over time, that particular ecosystem's abundance would be depleted. But the deer is guided by biological limitations. It wants to stay in its forest habitat for companionship and food, so it ends up defecating and dying there, thereby returning the nutrients it has stored, biologically synthesized, and processed. The pumpkin that would not stop. Imagine a pumpkin that couldn't stop growing and could somehow force all nutrients on the planet to flow through it. Imagine it eventually towering over mountains and growing to the size of the moon. What could it possibly do with those resources? Perhaps it could try to pollinate and sprout pumpkins on another planet. While replication is one goal of many organisms, a healthy ecosystem is one in which everyone is a seed for common pooled resources, and where the life of the network is greater than the life of any one pumpkin, no matter how big it is. Even predatory relationships in nature follow this large-scale reciprocity of nutrients going back to the earth to feed the plants, then for the rabbits who eat the plants, and perhaps for the wolves who eat the rabbits. Eventually, everything comes back eventually. Debts are settled. Otherwise, the living system breaks and dies. We'll revisit parasitic and predatory relationships later as we discuss monetary systems in Reflection 4. Shared reflection. The topic of economics as it manifests in the natural world is vast and awe-inspiring. Some great places to start reading include Lynn Margulis on the Gaia Hypothesis, Paul Stamets on fungal networks, and E.O. Wilson on eusociality. If you're interested in understanding the intricate relationships between lichens, moss, trees, ants, and so on, I highly recommend that you explore the work of these ecologists and others. Their insights come from decades of observation. The following section provides some reflections to help you observe ecosystems and how they can inform your approach to economics. Can you observe ecosystem patterns and functions? Keep a record. Honor and reflect on your insights and observations. Keep a journal. In your journal, jot down what you observe, how it makes you feel, and what you learn about resource coordination from nature. This journal will be useful throughout this guide. Note that ultimately, we are all trainers of trainers. Your journal is as important as this guide. Remember, the only difference between screwing around and science is writing it down. Quote from Adam Savage. Choose a place to observe. Visit a natural area, a park, a garden, or even a quiet corner in your neighbourhood. Go there as often as possible and observe how it changes. Notice the smells, colours, textures, and interactions between different elements. Where is the water? What are the insects doing? What creatures are eating or sheltering there? What is the effect of the sun? What is different from one year to the next? Noticing patterns. Imagine how each element contributes to the whole. Do you notice patterns or cycles? What would it look like if your community, family, or society followed a similar pattern? Perhaps you can already notice some of these patterns. Observe over time. Return to this place in different seasons. Observe the shifting relationships between plants, animals, and the environment. Notice how life adapts to changing conditions. Nature has perfected the art of resilience through cycles, relationships, and cooperation. By viewing our communities as ecosystems, we can move beyond scarcity and competition, creating systems that allow all members to thrive. What if we designed our economies to be as resilient and interdependent as nature itself? The next reflection will explore how the ancestors did exactly this.